We had quite a day yesterday. And despite the fact that due to medical restrictions, I'm not supposed to lift over 10 pounds, and I was very good and didn't lift. Most of the time, I didn't lift anything I wasn't supposed to. I still hurt from top to bottom, and I'm not sure what's with that. That just doesn't seem fair. But whatever. And I wanted to comment. Sometimes I point out my ties, sometimes I don't mention them, but I always kind of pick them with some thought in mind that has something to do with what's going on. And so today, since we moved into our own house, I decided that this was a good day to wear the Clan Douglas tartan. And this is the bright one. The Douglas clan was evidently not a cheerful lot, because this is the colorful one. Well, we are continuing in the fruit of the Spirit and discussing the different things there. And last week, we spent quite a bit of time talking about patience, and I thank you all for your long-suffering and putting up with that. There are three things here which are very closely related, and I'm kind of going to try to hit all three of those this morning. Whether I actually cover all three of them is another matter, but the three that are here, kindness, goodness, and I'm going to skip over faithfulness and talk about gentleness. And there's a lot of commonality in these three ideas. And so they can be kind of looked at as a related set of things there. And the thing that really stood out to me as I started studying into these words and looking at them is that what we have translated here, and you may get some differences in your translation, but the word which is translated as kindness is translated roughly half the time as goodness. The same word is translated both kindness and goodness in different places in Scripture. So about half the time it's really the same thing. And the word which we have translated as goodness has, as part of its fundamental definition, kindness. So these are very, very closely related words. But it drops us into one of those things. When we start talking about language, and I can occasionally be a little bit of a language geek, is that the definition of a word is only part of what it means. Because the strict definition of a word is going to be modified and it's going to be shaded by how it is used and what the context of its use is. And that's where we get that real difference where kindness and goodness are two different ideas is because of the focus in where they are normally used and in how they are presented. And particularly when we look at kindness, we see it in general, it's more of a personal thing, is that kindness is one person to another. It's a very kind of one-on-one relational thing. Goodness is in a much more social, cultural approach and has more of a broad application in how we relate to society or others as a whole. Our general demeanor toward others. And so the two are very, very similar, but tend to be used in different arenas, different areas. Now, I'm going to hit us with a couple of dictionary definitions. We'll talk about gentleness in a moment here, but just kind of a couple of details in the definitions here, because kindness in a secular sense, okay, these are the secular senses of these that are used. And to make that clear, when I say that the definition here. These are the definitions of the Greek words that underlie the English word, although there's not much difference there. But that kindness is a sympathetic and helpful nature, to be patient, gentle, and helpful. And the meaning for goodness is to have moral excellence, being upright, virtuous, and having integrity. And you can see in those definitions, those aren't complete definitions, obviously, but in those definitions, you can see that difference in focus between the relational between individuals and the relationship with the group as a whole, with society as a whole. So just a quick look at gentleness so that we can tie it in, is that gentleness is, in the definitions of gentleness, we always find the word kindness, which is, again, the same sort of thing. But the thing in gentleness is it to be free from harshness, sternness, or violence, to have a mildness of manner and disposition. And again, we're talking about something here which is maybe more in the social, the group sense, but it does have that very strong personal thing. This is the idea in there of having a the mildness of manner and disposition, the non-violent aspect of this. We go back and we think about the term gentleman. Go back a couple of centuries, and this was the ideal of the man, the gentleman who was never unfair, who never would do anything that was dishonorable. That was in the definition. I don't think anybody lived up to it, but the definition was there. And that's where that idea of being gentle and doing what is right, doing what is kind, not hurting, not trying to cause any damage, not trying to cause any harm. And so we have these three things that come together and are all focused very much on how we deal with people in individual relationship or in groups. But they all come as a background that these are coming from characteristics of God. Like we've talked about with the other things, these, when we read the fruit of the Spirit, these are characteristics of God that then come out in us because we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. This isn't what we have as our natural native tendency that then God kind of reinforces or builds up. When we went through that whole list of the works of the flesh, that's the natural native tendency. The Spirit of God overcomes that natural tendency, and then we build up these things that we list as the fruit of the Spirit, the things that are characteristics of God showing up in us because we have God in us, in the Holy Spirit. And so, going back and looking at the nature of God, one of the words that is used time after time, and I didn't even get a complete count, there were some 600 or 700 times where various versions of it are used, and that was just in Psalms, is the word loving kindness, which is a Hebrew word which is basically the same as kindness. It also is translated as mercy. And I thought that was interesting because here is the demonstration of God's kindness is found in mercy. And mercy is what drove Christ to the cross. God's mercy. Because mercy is overcoming the deserved punishment, setting that aside, giving us something we don't deserve. God is merciful in His treatment of us. He's merciful in that He made Jesus take the punishment that was ours, that we should have suffered. And so we don't have to go through that. And so that mercy, as an example of kindness, is where we should draw our example. If we're going to be kind, if we're going to demonstrate kindness, look at the kindness of God toward us. One of the things that and the reason why we see that word so many times in the Psalms is you've got a couple of Psalms that keep repeating the phrase, you know, for His loving kindness endures forever. His mercy endures forever. Depending on your translation, you may get something similar to that. But His kindness is eternal. This is part of His character. And He doesn't get tired of doing kind things for us. We have that admonition in Scripture as well, that we're not to grow weary in well-doing. You know, we're not to get tired of being kind. Now, personally, this is maybe one of those areas where it's hard. I sometimes have a hard time continually being kind, especially when people aren't so kind back. I think we all struggle with that when people are nice to us, it's easy to be nice back. But the instruction is kindness. The characteristic that God has is kindness. And He didn't just extend it to the nice people. That's one of the great things about God's love for us, is that it's available to all who will believe. That God is so merciful that He cares about every single one, including those who are hostile to Him. And we can look in Scripture and we see a man named Saul who is persecuting the Christians and going around and killing them, who is blaspheming Jesus Christ and abusing the church. And God loved him so much that He struck him blind. That wasn't entirely the whole story, but that's God got his attention, and God called him to Himself, and God brought him into faith in Jesus Christ because of His kindness and His mercy. That's the example of kindness. And you notice that's all individual. That's what we deal with in terms of our one-on-one relationship with God, that we are to be kind. Now, the other thing is that kindness is, like I say, it's not restricted just to the kind people, not just to the nice people. One of the examples of kindness that we have in Scripture is the prostitute Rahab, who saved the spies when they came into Jericho. And she asks that the Israelites show kindness to her and her family. And they do. Not because they knew anything about her, not because of a personal relationship or anything, but because they felt obligated to be kind because she had been kind to them first. She had protected and hidden the spies. And so in return for that kindness, they were kind. That they did that out of an obligation. And we have an obligation to kindness because we have received kindness and mercy from God. So we have an obligation to pass that on to the rest of His people. Goodness. And every time I use that term, I have that song, "Surely Goodness and Mercy Will Follow All the Days of My Life." For a long time, as a little kid, I always wondered who Surely Goodness was. Goodness takes us in, as I said in the definition, it takes us into this area of what they call moral excellence. And again, we're talking about God's nature. And what is God's nature in terms of morality? God is the establisher of morality. When we think about what is good, and the question sometimes, well, is God good? Well, this is one of those kind of trick questions. By definition, God is good. God's goodness is a moral perfection. And one of the things that gives us a fit trying to figure out the goodness of God when we say, well, God did this or God did that, you know, how can that be good, is that we have to see God's goodness as moral excellence in contrast to human depravity. In other words, moral excellence, and incidentally, we're setting up some conflict here with the idea of goodness, because moral excellence does not allow for accepting evil. We have that challenge that we are faced with, that we are to be kind, but we are also to be good. And to be good is to have an understanding of God's morality, to understand His truth and what He calls for in our behavior, what He wants us to look like and live like. And I pulled a couple of things from Psalms here, because the idea of God as good is a recurring theme in Psalms, and in Psalm 34:8, this is just one of many places, but it says, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him." And he's using there was a word that describes that. The connection there between the idea of tasting food, which is good, and we had some really, really good food that got brought over yesterday. So tasting, and that's good, and it's enjoyable, and it's pleasurable, wonderful stuff there. And the goodness of God, he's making that connection between those two ideas. You know, taste and see that the Lord is good. It's creating that image in our mind of God as being what is desirable and satisfying and pleasing and serving us in the sense that, you know, we eat it and it fills us up and sustains us. But the idea of the Lord's goodness is that it is right. It's not following after any kind of evil. God is not going in any wrong direction. His goodness is always moral and upright. He's always following that standard. And so if we have that goodness of God as our example, that He is the definition, we now find ourselves looking in Mark at where we should be. We don't end up so good, but in Mark, Jesus is talking to a young ruler, rich guy who comes to him, and in Mark 10:18, we have this guy comes to him and says, you know, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit an eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God." Now, Jesus was in human form, but He was God. And on one level, He could have claimed the goodness of God. But what He wanted to do here was He wanted to make that point very, very clear that our goodness in human form is always striving to rise to God's level. We never manage it. We aren't that good. But that God is good. And He is the definition. He's the touchstone. He's the one that sets that example that we never ever can rise to, but we always strive after. The record that can't be broken. So we look at the goodness of God, that He is always good. And we have to try to get there. And we do this just like with kindness. We have to do this by making a decision to do it. In kindness, we decide to be kind. We have an obligation to be kind. In goodness, we decide to follow the moral right by choosing right over wrong. If we're going to choose right over wrong, we have to know right and wrong. We find right and wrong by knowing the Word of God. But when we know that, we have to make that choice. We're confronted with the challenge that we have to decide to be good. It doesn't happen automatically. Yes, the Holy Spirit gives us goodness within us. That is part of the character of God, which is in us as someone who has been saved and regenerated by the Holy Spirit. We have goodness within us, but until we develop it, until we make that choice, it's hibernating there. And so the good person is one who's going to fit into that call of God's nature, to not be rebellious, to not be disrespectful to others, to not indulge ourselves over others around us, and to break the moral code of society. This is where we are to be an example in the world of moral uprightness. One of the things that has done probably as much or more damage to the cause of Christ over the last 20 or 30 years, within my period of ministry for sure, the thing that has probably done more damage to the cause of Christ than anything else is moral failure among prominent religious leaders. When you talk to a non-believer about Christianity, that's their image of a Christian. That's not good. That's someone who chose evil over good, and in doing that has damaged the entire cause of Christ. For every one of us, we have an obligation to serve Christ by choosing Christ's moral good, to follow Him. Now, the third one of these, in gentleness, and gentleness is really an excellent place for us to wrap things up here this morning. Because, again, I mentioned the idea of the gentleman, which is sort of a developed thing out of that. But gentleness is that contrast to the harshness and anger and the rough edge that is society. When we look at the world and the default way that people deal with one another is hard-shouldered and flinty-eyed. You know, there's a rough edge to the way that people deal with each other. They don't trust one another. They don't give any ground. It's amazing. Just little tiny things, when you do something that's nice for somebody, the tremendous reaction that you get. People are amazed when you're decent. Think about it. You think about how surprised people are when you do something decent. You know, they knock over some cans in the grocery store and you help pick them up. And first of all, they're amazed. And secondly, they're a little bit worried about you because they think you're some kind of weirdo. But this is gentleness in action. It's doing what is nice as opposed to what is harsh or hostile. Our society has built up hostility as our default way of dealing with people. I got caught up in a discussion thread on the internet, which is a total disaster when this happens. The debate was what Americans were like when they traveled. And all these people were weighing in from all of these different countries and things around the world about how they could immediately identify American tourists when they were traveling. Well, the thing that came out over and over and over again is they smile at people. You see, when you go into most places in Europe and something, you know, people don't smile at each other on the street. You never smile at a stranger. You don't greet somebody that you've never met. You know, hi, how's it going? You don't do that. There's a level of kind of latent, I don't know if it's hostility or just a wall that's put up there, but there's no gentleness in that. And admittedly, the smile that sometimes is used is as phony as your Richard M. Nixon $3 bill. But you got to put somebody on it, you know. But the idea is that when we go and we confront people, when we deal with people, are we gentle or do we project hostility? Because gentleness brings about openness. It makes us someone who is approachable. It makes us someone that when we talk about God loves you, that it's believable. If we're the guy that cut them off in traffic and honked at them and just, you know, did all of that kind of stuff. Yes, I love traffic metaphors. If you're that guy and then you meet that person in the line at McDonald's and you try to talk nicely to them, they're going to be skeptical. Gentleness. And sometimes when we're gentle, we get walked on. And we hate that. But sometimes we've got to put up with that. Because we are here doing God's work. And we do God's work by being like Christ. More than anything else, if we want people to come to Christ, if we want people to become disciples of the Lord Jesus, it's going to happen because we have the character of God within us, and we show it to the world. We have to show it. And kindness and goodness and gentleness are those things that we do in our interactions with people every day, in how we live our lives, how we talk to people, how we react to them on the streets, how we react to them when we drive. All of these things that we interact with people in, this should be what defines our behavior. This should be us allowing the Holy Spirit of God that is within us to lead us, to guide us, to push us into these kinds of behavior. It's not our natural behavior. We have to make choices. We choose to be kind. We choose to be good. We choose the moral right. We choose to be gentle. We let go of our anger. We let go of that rough edge and that hostility. And we choose to be gentle, because our Lord is gentle. He demonstrated His gentleness time after time in dealing with people, because He loved them. And we're told to love. That's one of those things that comes out of the Holy Spirit in us as well, is love. This is the nature of a developed, mature Christian. We should be kind, good, and gentle, just like our Lord is. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we ask for Your help. We acknowledge that we struggle with these things sometimes. It's hard to be kind to a lot of people. It's hard to be gentle with a lot of people. And sometimes, Lord, it's desperately hard to choose what is good over what we want for ourselves. And Lord, I pray that You would give us the strength to listen to Your Spirit speaking within us, that we would develop and cultivate and strengthen that voice of Your Spirit. And Lord, that by doing that, we would be able to become models of Christ for the world, that we would be able to change the world, not because of what we necessarily say, but because of who we are, and that who we are is a reflection of who You are. And that's what's going to change things. Give us that Spirit, Lord. Help us to lean fully on You and let You be our leader. In Jesus' name, amen.